The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Just another disclaimer, I want to say that everything I talk about in this podcast is very subjective. I'll be talking about my own opinions and thoughts, and you do not have to agree with me. I encourage you to have your own opinion and not feel attacked if my opinion is different from yours. Thank you and enjoy the show! Hello, readers, and welcome to the first episode of The Midnight Romantics, the podcast where we discuss all things bookish and romantic. I'm your host, Kaylin, and I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a hopeless romantic like me, a late-night reader, or a lover of love and literature, you are in the right place. If you like what you hear today, you can follow The Midnight Romantics on Instagram, where I'll be doing weekly polls and posting a lot of fun content that you won't want to miss out on. So grab a cozy blanket and your favorite hot beverage, and let's chat! Bedtime is optional, right?
Honey, bedtime!
Okay, Mom.
I'm just gonna read one more chapter. You're listening to the Midnight Romantics podcast. Bedtime is optional, right?
Are you whispering up there?
Welcome once again to the Midnight Romantics podcast. I am so excited that you're here. We're going to have so much fun in today's episode, and it's actually on one of my favorite topics to talk about, like, ever. Anyone who knows me. I love to talk about, drumroll please, tropes. Yes, today we are talking about tropes. So, in my opinion, they're kind of the backbone to any good romance novel. You have to have tropes in every romance novel, but some of you listeners might not be as familiar with the romance genre. Some of you are vets, you're like, okay, I know what a trope is. But for those of you who don't, I'm going to provide a little bit of background information about them, and then we're going to talk about them today. So, according to Google, a trope is a significant or recurrent theme or like a motif. So, it actually comes from the Greek word tropos, which means it's like a recurring plot device that is used to build familiarity and common emotions. So we see them in romance genres. I could list like 1,000 different tropes we find in romance novels, and we're going to kind of go deeper into those today. But all genres have tropes, like fantasy, like you think of Harry Potter, you have like the chosen one. And then there's like found family trope, and all books have their tropes, but it seems that romance novels, their tropes are what makes them so popular. So tropes have kind of honestly blown up through book talk. I'm sure you've seen tons of content, which is like, if you like enemies to lovers books, you should read these. If you like second chance romance, you should read these. And I think kind of that platform has really sparked people to be more interested and find their own favorite tropes. And yeah, there's so many. And a important distinction to make is that there's tropes and then there's cliches. So cliches are more of like a worn out or overused idea that readers are sick of encountering, whereas a trope is kind of like that foundational story element, which is what draws us to a romance book. Like if I'm reading, I'm going to get into my favorite tropes soon, but if I'm reading the back of a book and I see my favorite tropes in it, that's something I'm instantly going to want to read, because a trope just feels like a warm blanket. It feels like a hug. It feels like, okay, I'm going into this. I know exactly what I'm going to be getting out of this book, and it has my favorite things in it, so I'm really excited to read about it. So yeah, that is kind of our little backbone on tropes, and now we're going to get into them on a little bit of a deeper level. All right, so I am now going to welcome my first guest ever on the Midnight Romantics podcast. My guest today happens to be one of my favorite people on the planet and someone I love to chat about books with. So everyone, welcome my sister. Hello, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Amazing. So can you please introduce yourself to the listeners and tell me one of your favorite romance books?
Yeah, okay. So my name's Piper, and one of my favorite romance books is definitely People We Meet on Vacation by
Emily Henry.
Yeah.
Yes, that is one of my favorites too. I think that's probably one of the first romance books you ever read. Would I be correct in saying that?
Yeah, I think it was the first.
The first one? Yeah. I really like that one too. It actually has one of my favorite tropes in it, which we're going to get into today. So we are going to start getting into a little game called, I haven't really thought of a clever name for it, but we're just going to call it trope red flag or green flag, okay? So how this game works pretty much is I have a ginormous list of tropes that I made. There's a lot more than I thought. And pretty much I'm going to say a trope and you're going to go first. You're going to tell me if this is a red flag trope for you or a green flag trope and why.
Okay.
And we typically tend to have pretty similar tastes, so we might have a lot of kind of, like, agreeing here, but we'll see if any kind of, like, catch us off guard a little bit. So, I'm just going to go through my list here. The first one I have on the list here is friends to lovers. What are your opinions? Is it a red flag or is it a green flag trope?
Okay, well, I feel like, to me, it's a green flag trope. I really do like this one. Seems more realistic. It's a bit more personal because they already have past experience with each other. And I think them knowing each other before they were lovers, like being friends, just kind of adds a layer of history. And it makes their connection seem more real and more authentic, having known each other for a longer period of time.
Absolutely. Now, for me, friends to lovers is my absolute favorite trope on the planet. Not even trope, it's just my favorite thing in the world, I think. I love friends to lovers so much, and I think the reason why is because I've always wanted it to happen to me.
Yeah, me too.
So I think that's why I like it so much, but I agree with everything that you said. I really love that kind of, like, past connection there. I think that's just, it strengthens the relationship so much because you know there's so much history, there's so much, like, there's so many stakes between these two characters. And I just think they've lent to really sweet, really romantic stories. Like, I just love this genre this trope so much. Absolutely green flag for me. Absolutely love friends to lovers. I could do an entire episode just on this trope. I know some people don't like it, but don't attack me for loving this trope. I will come back at you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, moving on to enemies to lovers. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I feel like when I started reading, this was, like, the most popular, even just in fantasy books, kind of, it's really popular to have enemies to lovers, and I think I read too many books. I think it's a really overused trope, and when I see it now on the back of a book, it's kind of a red flag for me, not gonna lie. It's not my favorite thing in the world. I just feel like it's so overdone, and if it's not, like, if they don't have a reason to truly hate each other, then it's just, like, we all know that you're gonna get together, just, like, wrap it up. It doesn't really make sense. But I feel like if it's done in a way that makes sense, and if it's like kind of more of a slow, I feel like a slow burn, almost gradual, right away being like a switch flipped and they're like go from hating each other to
being
loving,
like,
each other.
You bumped into me the wrong way at the coffee shop, and now I'm gonna hate you for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
Like,
and
there's a lot of that.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, I saw you, like, I don't know, like, help a child when they fell down. Now I'm in love with
you.
That's
so real. I saw you at the hospital.
Yeah.
And you're such a kind person.
You help out at the elderly home.
You help
the
out
seniors.
At the elderly home. I didn't know this about you.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree with you. I feel like this is a very kind of mixed genre. I feel like, honestly, people like this one because of the sexual tension.
Yeah.
I feel that's, like, a big selling point for enemies to lovers. And
yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, something about the, like, anger, I think, really, like gets people. But I think also because my favorite trope is friends to lovers, this is literally the exact 180 opposite. So I feel like that's why it's more off-putting to me. I feel like, yes, they usually do not have a good reason to hate each other, and it just feels very comical the whole time. It feels like, why don't you guys just get together already?
Yeah.
That's a huge, like, that's why, majorly why I don't like this trope that much. If they have a genuine reason to hate each other, makes a little bit more sense. Even then, still, I just don't like it that much. Also, another thing, they usually go from enemies to lovers very quickly.
Yes, exactly.
There needs to be a friend stage in the middle where they, like, start to tolerate each other. They're like, okay, this guy's not so bad.
Yeah. But, sorry, just to interrupt, I feel like I enjoy it when there's kind of a bit of, like, humor involved, like, they kind of, not insult each other, but just, like, they kind of have that, like, conversation where it's, like, back and forth, like, quippy, I guess.
Yes.
That's
I love
okay.
quippy
I like
conversation.
When there's, like, when there's, like, quick, like, just like kind of jabs at each other, that makes it a little bit more interesting and like more like a better transition from like hating each other to kind of becoming friends.
I agree. But I feel like the jabs sometimes can be overused as the point of being enemies, where it's like it needs to be a portion of it, but I don't think it should like take over the entire thing.
I agree.
Okay, so I think we're in agreement. This is kind of a red flag for us. We know this is a very, very popular trope. Maybe we just haven't been reading the right books yet. Maybe we gotta find one that we like a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, we're going to talk about fake dating. What do we think about fake dating?
Okay, I feel like this was one that really intrigued me when I started to read romance books. To All the Boys I Loved Before. Yes, oh my gosh, love that
Peter
book.
Peter Kavinsky for life, guys. Team Peter for life.
Yeah, okay, so again, I feel like it's just like kind of intriguing. It's like, oh, they're together, but they're not together. Like, and how like that would unravel in the end, because, you know, they can't be fake forever. And I kind of like how, like, that transition from, like, pretending kind of starts to be more real. I don't know, I really like that.
I feel like it has an aspect of Friends to Lovers in it, which is why, like, guys, we're just gonna keep circling back to Friends to Lovers, because I just can't get enough of it.
But at the same time, I feel like it's also kind of a bit overused, and if it's not done in a good way, like, if the reason for fake dating in the first place is, like, kind of stupid, or just, like, it doesn't really make sense. I feel like there's a lot of things that have to come together in order for, like, the plot of them fake dating to actually seem realistic and necessary.
Yes,
and I feel
I
like
agree.
A lot of books kind of miss that point. But I'd say overall it's a green flag, I think.
Yes,
if it's done right.
I agree. I think it's also a green flag. What I'm sick of seeing is, like, oh, my sister's getting married, I need to pretend to have a date to the wedding.
Exactly.
There is so many of those books, like, so many, and I'm just, like, I'm really sick of that particular trope. Also, because usually they're enemies, too. They're, like, enemies fake dating.
I hate,
I'm not a huge fan of enemies fake dating, but, like, fake dating in general is definitely one of the first tropes that I think I was ever introduced to when I was reading romance, and I did really enjoy it. To All the Boys I Loved Before is, like, one of my all-time favorite, like, childhood tween series.
Childhood. Read it last summer.
She read it last summer.
Yeah.
But because
really
I told
though.
Her to, okay?
Yeah.
I love those books so much. We're not going to talk about the Summer I Turned Pretty books, though, okay? That's another episode. I watched the show, Team Connor, all the way. I liked the show, did not like the book, okay? But I feel like fake dating is, I think it can be a really great trope when used in the right way. But I feel like kind of avoiding that stereotype of like the weddings or like, I hate you, but I need a date or my parents' pressure and all that stuff. That's what I'm kind of not into as much. Okay. We're going to move on to Love Triangle. This is a tough one. What do we think about Love Triangle?
Okay, personally, I don't really like them that much. I feel like it's all very overdramatic. It's just, I don't know, I'm thinking about The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yes, that is definitely a Love Triangle
also
to the
Other
extreme.
World.
The Other World,
by
yes.
Abby Emmons. Would not really recommend that book.
Yes.
But I feel like, again, like, I know I've said this about all of them, but I feel like if it's done in a way that is just kind of less about, like, I hate when the main character is, like, really flipping between them, like, every second. It's like, oh, I like this person, but then he doesn't text me
hashtag
back
belly.
Fast
enough. Hashtag belly.
So I'm kind of mad at him, so I'm going to go to his brother. Oh, no, it doesn't have to be a brother.
Yeah, there is often, brother's best friend is another trope that kind of aligns with Love Triangle quite often.
Yeah, I feel like it is interesting because there's like, oh, who she's going to end up with. But at the same time, like, why does she have so many, why do they have so many options? Like,
it's not
real.
Realistic. I can't get one man. Why do they have like 17 at their door being like, oh my God, I
love
you.
And they're just simple, guys. They're just like, they're just quirky.
They're just quirky, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of a red flag for me, I'm not gonna lie.
Okay. Honestly, I don't know how I feel about love triangles. I feel like anytime I read them on the back of the book, I tend to gravitate towards reading them, and I feel like that's because it's like a hate read thing. But like, when I think about some of my favorite books, like The Hunger Games is one of my favorite books of all time, that was like, it was kind of like a love triangle, but like not really, but
Gale
I feel like,
have a chance.
Gale did not have a chance, guys.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's one that I really liked because it was like more girl power,
yes.
you know, more
yeah,
girl power
exactly.
love triangle. it's just, I feel like the love triangle trope often led, like, when you don't have to have one female and two males. There's very different, like, variations of the love triangle. That's the one most stereotypically done, and I feel like it lends to a female character who is very, like, wishy-washy, very weak, very boy-obsessed or girl-obsessed, and just
not
being, like,
independent.
They're not independent. Their whole, everything they're thinking about is, which person should I choose? That's not the kind of love triangles I like. I like the ones where there's other things going on in the plot. But there's kind of, like, two connections. Like, one I kind of like is when there's, like, childhood best friend, once again, friends to lovers, and then we have, like, maybe, like, new person in town or something like that. Yes. And I feel like that one is better because there's, like, there's that history connection there, but then there's something new that's also kind of sparking. And I feel like that's one that I more so gravitate towards.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. If the main character has something about them that makes them, like, again, more independent, more, like, girl boss, just it makes them more likable, and I think then we can connect and we kind of root for them more than if they're just so obsessed with who they're gonna end up with. Like, get some hobbies,
get some hobbies,
go for
girl.
A walk.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm gonna do a few more. Let's talk about slow burn. What do we think about slow burn? Do you know what that means?
I think I do. I don't know if I've read a book that's slow, like, solely been, because I feel like that's kind of like...
I feel like that's not the direction we're moving in. I feel like books are just getting spicier and spicier, faster and faster.
Yes.
And so I feel like that's not the direction we're moving in. But if you go to, like, more OG romances, I feel like there's more
of a
slow burn.
Would, like, love
there.
In other words be considered slow burn? Because it's kind of, like, from childhood.
I would consider that, yes. That's one of our
love
favorite
books.
Book.
Yeah, that's, like, what...
Friends to Lovers.
Yeah. Another one of my...
I should just call this episode Friends to Lovers at this point.
It's, again, off topic, but it's, like, a really... One of my favorite romance books as well.
Yes. Highly recommend.
But I feel like if that's considered, like, slow burn, then, like, I'd say that, yes, that's a green flag. Because I do kind of like the gradual... I don't know if this is... That's a word. Gradualticity. It's probably not a word.
Definitely not a word.
Yeah. But just, like, the gradual kind of... connection between the characters instead of, like, oh my gosh, you're hot, I love you, like,
yes, that is the direction we're
stupid,
very much in.
And it's not like I mean, it could be realistic for some people, but, like, I feel like you need to feel comfortable and more connected with the characters, or, like, how they feel in the book. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. I would say slow burn is a huge green flag for me.
Yeah,
once again, I just love stories that really build gradually with, like, a small graze of the hand, or a wistful look across the room. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just, like, it gets my heart beating. I'm like, oh my god, that's so cute. So I would say slow burn is definitely a big one for me. And I feel like then when you have, like, scenes that are spicier, or you have, like, a passionate kiss, let's say, it just makes it feel more earned and more rewarded, because you know how much these characters love each other.
Yeah, sorry, can I talk about a book that I read?
Yes,
okay,
you can.
If you've read Keeper of the Lost Cities, you might understand this, but, like, the whole book, I mean, I guess that book is kind of a love triangle as well, but there's just, like, a slow burn between two of the characters throughout, like, the entire series, and they've been friends, they've, like, not enemies, but, like, you know, they've had fights and stuff, and then, like, when, like, they did kind of end up together, it was, like, so huge, it was such a big deal, it was really exciting, and way better than just, like, reading a book and on, like, the second chapter they're already, like, dating or something like that. Just, like, it's way more exciting, and it just builds a lot more tension, and you just feel more invested, I think, in the story, when it's just a slower pace in general.
All right, so we have another game for you today. I have also not thought of a clever name for this one, so we're just gonna call it the Wheel of Tropes, all right? So I have a random generator open on my computer, and I am going to generate three tropes for myself and three tropes for Piper, and we are going to see if we can create a plot for a romance novel that we would enjoy reading, and we think maybe you guys would enjoy reading, like, kind of like a 1 to 2 sentence plot using all three of these tropes. And then we're going to read them out loud. And I'm also going to post these on the Instagram account. Once again, that is at The Midnight Romantics. And then I'll let you guys vote on who you think has the better summary and book that you would want to read, okay? So, we're going to start with Piper. So, three tropes. Starting now, here's our first spin. Here we go. Alrighty. Your first trope is Grumpy Sunshine.
Oh, no.
So, those of you who don't know what Grumpy Sunshine is, I think it's both a red flag for both of us, unfortunately.
Overused.
It's overused. It can be done well, but it's usually where you have one character who's grumpy and the one who's full of joy. yeah, that's essentially what Grumpy Sunshine is. All right. All right, second trope for Piper. Okay, this is letters, notes, and secret messages.
Ooh,
okay?
I didn't even know that was one.
It's kind of like a more, like, sub-tropey kind of one. But it's kind of, it is one where they, like, communicate. Usually this is with mistaken identity. Like, they're communicating with each other. Like, maybe they're enemies, but they're communicating. They don't know each other.
Oh, like,
there's
like
lots of examples of that.
Okay.
Yeah, so kind of like that vibe. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, all right. You have these written down?
Yeah.
Okay. And last one for Piper. Here we go. Star-crossed lovers.
Oh, that's a good one.
A Shakespearean classic. I do love me a good star-crossed lovers.
That
Titanic?
Shoot, I don't know.
I love the Titanic. Okay. All right, those are all of yours. So you can start kind of brainstorming, and I'm going to spin mine, okay? So here we go. So hers have been removed, so I cannot get the same ones that she had. Let's see. My first one is workplace. Okay, workplace.
Red flag.
This is a kind of red flag. It depends on what the workplace is. We'll see. We'll see. Okay, let me write these down. Workplace. All right. All right, my next one is secretly royal. Oh, my God. Ooh. This is one of my favorites. If you guys have not seen the show Young Royals.
Oh, my gosh.
On Netflix, Swedish. Oh, my God. Please watch it. It is literally my favorite show on the planet. And it's not, like, secretly royal, but it's royalty in there. Okay. All right. And please, let's pray for some friends to lovers for the last one. That would just, like, make my day. Oh, no. One bed.
Oh, my gosh.
No. This is one of my biggest pet peeves in romance novels. We get to the hotel. They're covered in rain. They maybe are aggressive or they're, like, fighting with each other.
They're hungry.
There's only one bed. Why is there only one bed?
Should have booked it right.
Should have booked it right, bro.
Sleep on the floor. Use some pillows.
Okay. We're going to put these in the story blender, and we're going to see what we come up with, okay? So we'll be back in a minute. All right, so we have put our brilliant minds to the test, and we have come up with some synopsis for you. So Piper's going to read hers first. Just go through which tropes you got, and then you can read your little synopsis.
Okay, so the tropes I got were Grumpy Sunshine, Secret Messages, and Star-Crossed Lovers. Okay, so bear with me. It's a quarter-baked idea. So let's do this. Okay. So in a faraway kingdom fantasy realm, no one is allowed to speak. Long ago, a terrible curse was unleashed through sound, and now only the noble houses, or like the kingdom, protected by magic, have the right to use their voices. Sebastian is a kind but curious young guard. He lives his life in silence until he's sent to patrol the enchanted forest. There he meets Elwyn, a grumpy forest nymph who protects the last traces of natural sound. Though they cannot speak, Sebastian and Elwyn begin to communicate through secret symbols carved into trees. As their silent friendship turns into forbidden love, they uncover a truth that could change the kingdom forever and bring back the one thing that has been lost for centuries, sound.
Ooh, ah, oh, that sounds really
getting,
good.
Getting, like, you know, forest aesthetics.
I love it so much.
Thank you.
Okay, mine is interesting, let's say that. So, I got workplace, secretly royal, and one bed. Literally, two of these tropes I despise.
Red flag.
Okay, this is what I came up with. All Charlie wanted was to have a normal summer at his family's ancient lake house on the British lakefront. We were talking, like, we think there's a lake in
Britain. It's an island, so there's definitely some sort of body of water.
It's his last one, after all, before college, and he wanted to make it count. That doesn't make sense. He was thrust into the limelight after a passing in the royal family revealed that he has secretly been an heir the entire time. His mother just wanted to protect him from the spotlight, but now she is on the throne and he is next in line. Instead of spending his last year with his friends, he now has to uproot his life to attend a royal boarding school where he will learn everything he needs to know about the throne. Enter Winston, Charlie's roommate, who rides the feist to Charlie's quiet. Except there's an issue. Their room only has one bed. As the boys spend the night together, before their room situation is sorted out, something happens between them. For once, Winston doesn't feel so angry, and Charlie doesn't feel so alone. But then, the next day, it's like it never happened. As the boys navigate royalty, family pressure, and their own sexuality, one question remains. Will they ever find their way back to one another? I know, it's kind of very tropey, but... It's what I came up with. If you like royalty,
it sounds good.
If you like royalty, come on. I think it could be intriguing. I think it could go in the right direction. There's a lot of plot holes in that already, but I think it could work. So I'm gonna put these up on the Instagram, and you can vote for your favorite. And then I'll announce who won next episode, okay? So yeah, if you want to play that game, you're more than welcome to, and you can post your own results on the Instagram as well. Would love to see what you guys come up with. All right, so that is our episode today. We hoped you loved talking about tropes with us and chatting. I want to thank Piper so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It was such an amazing show. So next week, what are we talking about next week? I'm going to give a little sneak peek. Next week, we are talking about one of my favorite things, which is love interests. Okay, so we're talking about the book boyfriends. We're talking about the book girlfriends. Everyone that makes us swoon. People we want to slap in the face, walk out on a date. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. And I can't wait to see you there. As a reminder, as always, bedtime is optional, right? Finish that last chapter. All right, thanks so much for tuning in. And I will see you next week. Thank you again.